Hey, good morning. Are you well? Good morning. The lighting is really weird here. It's weird, and there you are. I'm lit on one side and not on another. There's a window over there. Yeah, over there. There. Which way? There. Yeah. It's weird. Everything is back to front. Good morning. I'm watching the meter level on the microphone to make sure there's no mishap like yesterday, and I don't have to resort to sign language again. About 3 minutes, I was chatting away with myself yesterday. Didn't realise that the mic had disconnected itself. And if it wasn't for a text from Sharon Gale in Portsmouth, I think I'd have carried on for about 20 minutes. I'd have just carried on. Bit like that. Bit like that. That's the way it would have went. We are Wednesday, August 7th, 2000. That's the Sex Pistols Experience t-shirt right there. 2019. And this live stream is where, if you're new to it, if you've happened upon it, I'm going to be looking at the front pages of the UK's newspapers today and at one or two stories inside the papers that caught my attention. My name is Richie Allen. How you doing? Jason Williamson, good morning. When are people going to come together and fight back, Richie? I don't see it happening, ever. People are for themselves these days. It winds me up big time. Yeah. They are. And it's something that. Have I got something on my lip there? Have I? What's that? I've been bitten. Oh, I know what it is. Jesus, wash your face, Richie. I had a bit of a strawberry smoothie before I came up. Oh, Christ. And I didn't wash my mouth. There you are. Big strawberry smoothie. And I'm not going to go and do it now. Nothing I can do about it. I'm just going to sit here. You dirty bastard, Richie. Did you even brush your teeth? Did you? You baldy bastard. I did. It was lovely running this morning. Because when I was running, there was a bit of a light rain. Not a light drizzle now, but light rain, and it was lovely. Just around 6 o'clock this morning, running down Liverpool Street. Nobody around. No children, because no school, which is great. No prison for the kids. Just lovely. A few birds here and there. Not as many birds as there should be, mind. But it was gorgeous just running down. And then up Langworthy Road, dodging the bullets. Because you know when you run up Langworthy Road in Salford, you've got to dodge the gang warfare going on. You've got to kind of dodge the bullets and step over the bodies. And that was fine. Then on to Eccles New Road, Eccles Old Road. Make a left. Make for Buell Hill Park. Richie Allen on his own. It was brilliant this morning, I tells you. Brilliant. All this bullshit about Salford. Salford is a fantastic place. All this nonsense about it being rough and problematic. There's nothing wrong with this fantastic city and this great area, this great community where people do talk to each other, Jason. People do here. Not like in Fallowfield where nobody gives a shit about anybody, or in Manchester or central Manchester. Once you get outside to proper working class estates like where I'm living now, people still have time for one another because they have to cooperate with one another. I'm telling you, it's fantastic. Ignore all that Langworthy Road stuff. I was only joking. Right, Wide Awake Radio. How you doing? Jesus Jones. Jesus Jones. Hi to Anonymous. Massachusetts. Julie Walters. Sir Hubert of Haywood. How you doing, pal? 26S Buxta. Sooty's Rehab. Matt Crawley. Liz McFall. How you doing? Liz. Rose Williams. Robert Lawrence. Truth Site. Jennifer Garcia in Florida. The Floridian herself. Holistic Vegan, Chris, Charlotte, how you doing, Charlotte? Hot God, Yupkek, let's go on down. Patrick Vidian, lovely. Pierre Robertson, how you doing, Pierre? Thugspiracy, that's William. Threat of Glumberg, Jake Triples. My tongue is really swollen on this side of my mouth. I don't know if I bit it, maybe in my sleep. The little bit of sleep I do get. Or, see, I'm absolutely obsessed now with the smoothie marks on my top lip. bastard. Good morning to Mawinga. Steve Bennett's tuned in. It's wet in Limerick, says Tuha De Danan. You dirty bastard. How you doing, sir? Sean Mack. Fat tongue. Thanks for asking about my... I'm glad so many of you are concerned about my big fat tongue. I can't. It's disgusting if I do it. I don't even know if it's blisters. No, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it because some of you will be turned on by it. You're not going to objectify me. You're not going to objectify me. Don't care how gorgeous I am. Marvellous. Hi to Faisal. How you doing, Faisal? Samantha Jordan. Jazz as well, Samantha. It's the jazz woman as well. She's forgotten all about it now. William Gibson. RNS de Bonneville. Lovely. Let's go on to Great Chip. Great Chip had a cracking Scottish sausage butty. Mother's just come back from Scotland with a couple of slabs. Good man. Don't objectify me. Let's get straight into the paper, shall we? That's why we're here, you know. Thanks to those of you who enjoyed listening in to Dean Henderson last night and Andy Chambers. Let me just tell you that Andy Chambers' story checks out. He dropped the little girl off to school and the fuckers took her. And when the court judge said, give him back his daughter, because the social worker said, we took her because he was being uncooperative, they doctored up some story alleging that he was running around the corridors of the girls' school praising Hitler and screaming that he was a Nazi. No such incident was ever filed or logged by any school, let alone his school, his daughter's school. They took his daughter. It checks out. I don't allow people to come on my programme and say things like that unless they can demonstrate to me prior to the programme that they've got some documentation to support the claims they are going to make, because that's journalism, right? That's what's going on in our world. And Andy was right. The child is a commodity. The child is a very valuable asset worth thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. Oh, shite. I'm going to wash this T-shirt in a minute anyway. Have I got any water? I can't look at myself. I can't look at myself. Hang on there. Hang on. Hang on, I said. Hang on. Lovely. I'll have to edit that out a bit later on. How's that? Much better. Marvellous. Strawberry smoothie. Just throw a load of strawberries and a few bananas into one of them blender things. Bob's your uncle. Lovely. Tongue is really bothering me now that you mentioned it, to be honest. Labour and SNP hint at pact to oust Boris Johnson. This is in the Times. It's not just in the Times today. It's doing the rounds of the radio and TV programmes this morning. The notion that Nicola Sturgeon and Nicola Sturgeon and Jeremy Corbyn are going to join forces in a bid to get rid of Johnson. Motion of no confidence. A lot of talk about this today and about Johnson. You know, if there was a motion of no confidence prior to October 31st, and if Johnson was to lose that, some of Johnson's closest advisers have been saying that rather than resign, Johnson would call a general election for some time in November in a bid to leave with no deal, irrespective of the fact that he had lost a confidence vote. That isn't that complicated. I think I explained that pretty reasonably. So the Scottish National Party, Nicola Sturgeon, wants to free Scotland from the Union. That's no bad thing. I would agree with people like Tommy Sheridan, of course. But she wants to hand the country over to the European Union then. Anyway, that's on the Times today, on the front page of the Times. Let's move on. The Express newspaper. Boris tells European Union, you must back down, but they won't back down. This is about the withdrawal agreement. The European Union says, when I say the European Union, there are various spokesmen and women that they roll out on a daily basis, speaking for the 27 other member states, which is a nonsense. This is exactly, it's one of the reasons why there shouldn't be a European Union, right? 27 countries, hundreds of millions of people, power basically handed to Brussels, and a couple of people in Brussels, not Juncker anymore. You know who I'm talking about. The Commission. And they say, well, we're not going to negotiate. So they're saying that they will talk to Johnson's government about the political declaration. But on the withdrawal agreement and on the Northern Ireland backstop, the European Union says, no, that's it. We're not going to negotiate that or talk about it. Boris Johnson is allegedly saying, you have to. You have to back down, because if you don't, we're leaving on October 31st with no deal. Now remember, I've predicted the UK will never, ever leave the European Union with no deal. It will never walk away from the European Union, completely free of Brussels, completely free of rules, regulations, handed down by Brussels. It'll never happen. And we'll see this unfold in the next few weeks. So that's the Express today. There's quite a bit of this in the newspapers today. All you got to do when you think about the European Union is remember one thing. The European Union came out of the failure of the world's petrochemical, pharmaceutical companies and the biggest banks to dominate a post-World War II Europe led by Adolf Hitler. That was the plan. That's why these massive cartels, petrochemical companies, banks supported Hitler. They wanted a Europe controlled centrally from Berlin by Hitler's government. Of course, Hitler wouldn't have been in charge, of course. Obviously not. And some of the, you know, most important people in the very early days of the notion of uniting Europe around agreements. You know, we're talking about the Treaty of Rome. Many of these people were lawyers who'd worked in and around the Nazi Party. This is all true. There's an amazing book called The Nazi Roots of the Brussels EU, and it lays it all out there, who these people were that founded it. The European Union is all about centralising power. It's very difficult to control what's going to happen in the world if there are dozens and dozens and dozens of countries where the governments of those countries act in the interests of the citizens of those countries. If you have governments for the people, of the people and by the people, probably said that wrong, of the people, by the people and for the people, well, the biggest petrochemical, pharmaceutical and financial companies of the world, banks, can't very easily get their way. So the way to do it is to concentrate power in the hands of a very few people. And that is the essence of the European Union. You have to understand that. You know, this is what the younger folks who've got this notion into their head that they've been betrayed by baldy gammons like me and by taking the UK out of the European Union. They need to get it into their heads. They need to understand sovereignty. I'm not saying the UK is a sovereign nation right now. And, you know, I've had many men and women on my programmes over the years to talk about the history of this country. The people of this country have never been free. The people of the Republic of Ireland. The people of Ireland have never been free. We were briefly. So that's why people like me, socialists, could never support membership of a trading body like the European Union. It's not a trading body, but you know what I mean. A overarching club, basically, where decisions are made that affect the people of this country, but they're made by people, many of whom have never set foot in this country. And that's what they don't understand, the young. This is why I talk often about ignorance being celebrated. People go on Twitter and scream about stuff, but they have no idea. They have no knowledge. They haven't educated themselves. So a lot in the papers today about the impending leaving with no deal. This is the I paper. European Union open to new deal, allegedly, if Johnson, Boris Johnson, drops his red lines. The red lines around the backstop. This is the Irish Prime Minister, the Irish Taoiseach, on Taoiseach, Leo Varadkar, who is an absolute moron in every sense of the word. A lackey, a puppet for Brussels, if ever there was one. Ireland is nothing but a vassal state of the European Union. I mean, I've said this before. My country, Constance Markovic, Michael Collins, James Connolly, I could be here all day long, would be turning in their graves if they knew what happened to our country. If they knew that the finance minister, the Irish finance minister, is not allowed to draft a budget. And a budget, of course, is how the country is going to spend and allocate money over the next 12 months, but also how it's going to derive the revenue to do that through taxation and stuff. That's a budget, basically. Fiscal budget, I've given you a very basic definition of it. The Chancellor allegedly sits down, the Finance Minister, and says, right, we want to do this and we want to do that for the next 12 months, right. Right, we need to spend here, we need to spend there. How are we going to get the money now? How now are we going to get the money now? Right, well, we'll put cigarettes tax up by 2 pence, by 2 cent. 2 pence, that was a long time ago. We'll put alcohol up by 4 pence. We'll get all this money in. We'll tax people a bit more. That's how it goes, right? Allegedly. That was bad enough, by the way, because people shouldn't be taxed. Nobody should be taxed, full stop, we know this. But that's how it used to be. Now, three men fly in from Berlin with broken English and German accents. And they have a look at the Irish finance minister's offering for the next fiscal year. And they say, nine. And then they give them the budget. And they say, austerity, 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 austerity. Because you still owe us hundreds of millions of euro. All those loans that we gave you from the European Central Bank. That's how it works, you see. This is education. What I'm doing now and what I'm telling you now, you get nowhere else. Certainly not in commercial media. This is how it goes. And the young don't understand this. They don't want to know. This is the narcissism that Jason Williamson is hinting at earlier on. Oh, you can't take us out of the European Union. Why not? And really, for the young, all they're thinking of is Ibiza and fucking Aya Napa. That's it, basically. That's it. That's the narcissism. Me, 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 me. Oh, it might be more difficult for me to go someplace. Well, it won't be, really. That's just a nonsense. These countries, tourism is their lifeline. Don't believe the liars when they say, if we leave with no deal, that you might find it difficult to go and stay and travel in these countries. Don't believe it for a minute. It is a lie. These are important truths. Germans rock up. Yes, the Germans. The Frankfurt Rothschilds. The Germans rock up. Nine. Where's the sovereignty there? How could you say with a straight face that Ireland is a sovereign nation? Well, what we'd like to do now this year now, what we'd like to do is, well, we'd like to spend a bit more money on social care. We'd like to give a bit more money to people who are looking after relatives that are unwell. Nine! You will screw people to the wall. You will screw them. Because we told you to. And the merry Indian, Leo Varadkar, says, okay. Okay. I'm off to a rubber fetish party with my daddy. Okay. I don't care. Because if you pay me enough money a year and I get to live out the rest of my life in comfort, fuck the Irish, right? Huh? That's how it works. That's how your politicians work. Not a single politician today, yesterday or tomorrow in any country, in any world, is serving your interests. Never have, never will. The Telegraph. Stifling rules on GP pensions to be relaxed. Yeah, let's look after doctors, yeah. Let's make that a priority. Because doctors don't have enough money, God love them, you know. God love them. Let's make sure doctors are all right. Quite a few pictures of that evil bastard on newspapers today. Chortling away about a naughty pony. Apparently there was a naughty pony. Shame the pony didn't turn around and back kick the fucker into oblivion. But anyway, there she is. You know why she's still alive? She's never went to a doctor in her life. Oh yeah. Bastard. That's the Telegraph. The Financial Times. Oh, she's a lovely little old lady. She is, yeah. The Financial Times. I forget the Times. Fuck the Times, huh? The Metro. Premier League clubs, child abuse, shame. Dario Gradi, this is about. I won't get into it. Child abuse is everywhere. Everywhere. And this is about Chelsea in the 80s and young boys who were molested in the 70s and 80s. The man who did it is dead now. But Dario Gradi is a very famous coach who spent years at Crewe Alexandra. Years and years and years. Donkey's years. And apparently was a very, very, very bright and very capable coach. Is coming in for some criticism today. Martin Samuel has written in the Daily Mail an article that criticises Dario Gradi, suggesting that he didn't do nearly enough when he knew that boys were being abused at Chelsea. It's depressing stuff in the Metro. Depressing stuff. The Daily Mirror then. It's 8 minutes to 10, by the way. Lotto winner says, I'll use the cash that I've won to look after my autistic kid brother. Good for you, pal. He'll get £10,000 a month for 30 years. That's how he gets his winnings. That's not bad, eh? Good for him. I'm sure he'll be able to live on 10 grand a month for 30 years. Yeah. The Star. There you go. Same story. And it's Rita Fuoro. There's a bit of sexism. You could argue there's a bit of sexism there. But there are some stories about sexism in The Guardian. Fucking Guardian. We'll come back to it in a minute. Me. What else? What have you been saying to me? Hi to Pauline McCullen. How you doing, Pauline? The Gobdaws said on a YouTube video that we have nothing to do with the outdated idea of sovereignty in March of 2017 or 2018. Send me a link to that, Pauline, will you? Email it to me or drop it to me. Hi to Bernadette Black. Bernadette says, Richie, I live in Ireland and life is very good. I have 4 kids and they are all in their 30s and life is good for them also. Good for you, Bernadette. Thanks for the message. Hi to Ghost Gaming. To Deke the Pict. Keith Daly says, Richie knows all and nobody else. Come on, man. When have I ever said that? That I know all and nobody else. When have I ever said that? I made the point that some of the stuff I'm talking about now, you're not going to hear it anywhere else. It's not because people don't know it. It's because people won't talk about it. It's the point I'm making. Grow up, Keith. Don't be such a little snowflake, pal. Life is too short, man. Let's move on down. Esoteric Eclipse, in response to Bernadette, says, Bernadette, your experience is far from the majority of people. I'm not sure Bernadette was saying, I'm all right, Jack, screw everybody else. I'm not sure that was the tone of her message. In fact, she came back to say that she's been disabled by Lyme disease. I'm sorry to hear that. There was a story in the paper about that last week in the Mail about a man who was bitten by a tick. I'm very mindful of this when I'm in long grass with Jazz, of getting of ticks. But anyway, Bernadette's husband is retired. We're not raking it in, she says, but we have enough to live and a holiday each year. Damo says, Richie, I agree with your summing up of the EU, but what of the disaster capitalists looking to benefit from a no deal? Damo, do you listen to the fucking programme? Do you listen? What have I said about handing the reins over to Boris Johnson, Jacob Rees-Mogg, and the you could call them the anarcho-capitalists of that ilk? Of course, man. Of course. They don't want to liberate the country from the European Union, to give sovereignty back to the country, to restore, if we ever had it. I don't think human beings have ever been free. To give people back control of their own destinies. No, mate, they don't. I've said it 1,000 times. Jesus Christ. Do I have to keep saying that? I'm no supporter of any of these people. I know what they want to do. John Keegan alleges that Bernadette was saying, fuck the rest of you, I'm okay. I don't think she was, John. She was just saying, I find it to be okay. Myself. And she's entitled to say that. Okay. Bernadette. Nice to hear from you, Bernadette. Sorry about the Lyme disease. If they catch that early enough, antibiotics should be enough to deal with it. I hope it's not too bad for you. There was a story in the Mail last week about a young man, and he went weeks and weeks and weeks not feeling well and didn't do anything about it. And eventually, I think he's in a pretty difficult situation at the moment. So there you are. Right. That's the Daily Star. You know, a lot of people download this off Spotify, off iTunes and off Podomatic. Thousands do, honestly. And I'm wondering, how could you listen to this, not seeing the images and not knowing what the bloody hell's going on? But they do anyway. Jesus. You lunatics. What's on the front page of the Mail? Dementia is now the cause of 1 in 8 deaths. Of course it is. Alzheimer's. The Daily Mail is doing some very good work lobbying the government to take care very seriously and to pressure the government to do more for people who are caring for their elderly relatives, because it's shocking what's happening in this country where people are having to sell their homes to pay for care for people who paid into the system their entire lives, right? Right? It's evil. It's manifestly fucking evil. But why is dementia and Alzheimer's on the rise in the young? And if you look into these stories on dailymail.co.uk and some of the other papers, go down, read the first paragraph, because in the first paragraph you get the 5 W's and the H. What's the 5 W's and the H? Who, what, why, where and when. That's what you get in paragraph 1. Go right down to paragraph 9 and you'll find the little nuggets of information about how dementia and Alzheimer's in young people, which we never saw before, is on the rise. Why do you think that is, Paddy? Oh yeah, those things up there causing collapses in bee colonies around the country. Aluminium. That's why people are getting dementia. And why? Fucking doorbell. Can you believe it? Can you believe it? I'll be back in a minute. Don't go anywhere. I'll have to edit this later on now. Unbelievable. Back in a second. Stay there now. Back in a minute. Back in a minute. You might say, why not turn off the doorbell? Yeah, but I'm expecting things. It's going to come to an end pretty soon. Just a few deliveries here and there, bits and pieces for the house, even small things A rug has just arrived, actually. A rug. There you are now. The future Mrs. Allen just buying stuff like there's no fucking tomorrow. Anyway. Marvellous. So we know where dementia is coming from. Because of the growth of it. Unprecedented numbers of people now dealing with it. And in the Sun, miracle flab jab. Apparently the pharmaceutical industry has found a jab that when you get it, you will begin to lose weight and you could lose 10 pounds in just 4 weeks. Yeah. Tell you what. Just get up off your fucking arse, right? And go for a 5 or 6 kilometre run. Forget running. Forget running. Scratch running. Go for a 5 or 6 kilometre walk around your local park and do that 3 or 4 times a week. Cut sugar completely out of your diet. Your body does not need sugar. Sugar should come nowhere near your body. Ever. Get rid of it. It is a carcinogen, right? Makes things taste nice, does it? Actually, no. If you cut it out of your diet completely, like I've done, and you stick with it, you find that your food starts to taste really nice. As does your water. Get rid of it. Get sugar out of your diet. Don't eat anything after 7 p.m. and go out and have a walk, and you'll lose your 10 pounds, and you won't have to be injected with toxic pus or shit or whatever is in that vaccine, or it's not a vaccine, it's a flab jab, and you'll be all right. Now, I had a tweet this morning from Nick Molyneux. How you doing, Nick Molyneux? And thank you for your tweet, my friend. I really appreciate that. He tweeted me, he said, Richie, I went into Frankly Services on the M5 in Birmingham, and in the toilets, amongst the advertising, this was there. I was shocked. Great news, though, says Nick. And he saw a poster asking a very important question about the safety of 5G. And I have kind of zoomed in on it a bit there. And there it is. And the poster contains a number of quotes from scientists questioning the safety of 5G. It's very, very good, this. And I can tell you a little bit more. Thank you, Nick, by the way, again. Thank you, Nick. Thank you, Nick. This is radiationresearch.org. If you want to make a note of that, radiationresearch.org. They've paid for the advertisement, which showed up in Frankly Services where did Nick say? Near Birmingham. Is that what he said? Is that right? Is that right, Nick? On the M5 in Birmingham. That's the one. And they, radiationresearch.org, are a group of real scientists. Because if you go onto the homepage and you go to About Us, you will find that they are real scientists and academics. When I say real, I should say establishment, right? Okay. Alrighty. And very soon, they're having a conference. And it's in London on the 28th of September at 9 o'clock in Hallam Street, London. Get the Facts, it's called. Can Wireless Communications Damage Your Health? It's called. Saturday, September 28th. And you can see there, right at the bottom, there are a number of speakers, professors, academics, scientists who will be addressing the conference there. How brilliant is that? Because 5G, I believe, having spoken with people like Chris Busby on my programme, of course, the great Chris Busby, and Barry Troer and others, of course 5G can and will damage our health in ways that maybe wasn't so noticeable previously with other wireless communication technology. But this is going to be on steroids. And I'm not going to dwell on that because I've covered it so much now in recent weeks and months, as you know. So there you go. Lovely. I have to unhide some of your messages. Hi to Wayne Davis. How you doing, Wayne? Wayne believes that dementia is closely related to CJD beef consumption in the 80s, mad cow disease. Do you believe that, Wayne? I don't know. I've never seen any such evidence, but I'm not disputing it. Hi to Day Lynn, who lost 2 stone in 2 months with a proper diet of greens and meats, no processed or packaged anything. Good man. Good stuff. Hi to Danny Warden, who's only seen one or two honeybees in the garden this year, but loads of bumblebees. On the upside, no Asian hornets, which stung Danny a couple of times last year. No Asian hornets. Cheers, mate. Hi to Monty Mole. Lovely. Could you hear Jazz barking there, could you? Tough woman. Big, hard woman, Jazz, barking. Screaming down the stairs. Lovely. Alrighty then. We're going to move on with one or two more stories, and then I'm going to get out of here because the time is flying. Peace, Dreamable, Good News Bear. Thanks for all your messages today. I really appreciate that. And if I missed any out, it's not deliberate. And thanks, Damo, for your message. Yeah, I really appreciate that. Yeah, I'm not having a pop at you, mate. I'm just saying that I don't claim to be some sort of a guru who's full of knowledge. I'm not. I'm far from it. The whole point of the radio show is for me to hear from people talking about subjects that I don't really know very much about. But you know, in terms of talking about politics being, a control mechanism, and in terms of putting out there the notion or the idea that nothing will ever change through politics, you know, me talking about the Queen and the oath of allegiance and all of that, there isn't anybody else doing that. That's generally a theme that I seem to be the only person in serious independent media that's talking about that. It's not because I know it exclusively, I'm not saying I do, but nobody else wants to talk about that. And this is what identity politics is doing. It's actually drawing people back to politics and the notion that I am part of the right or the left or the far right or the far left, or I'm more central ground. People are identifying with it again after a period of time when there was a bit of hope, when people were turning away from it. Anyway, that's just me. Let's have a look at one or two stories and then I'm just going to do one, right? I'm going to do one. I don't believe in the death penalty, and I really don't believe in violence as a means of conflict resolution. And I don't believe that we, as sentient spiritual beings, will ever release ourselves from our bondage through violence. I don't. I believe it'll have to be people coming together, standing together in peace and turning their backs on the system. That's what I believe. Disobedience. Sometimes I'm pushed, though. Sometimes I'm pushed. And I think if I was ever... I'm not a tough guy and I don't talk tough. I'm certainly not a tough guy. I think if I was to encounter him, I think if I was to be in DC, or if I was in Texas, or if I was in Louisiana, and this fucker here happened to be in a restroom, and I was in a restroom, I think I would knock him. I think I would fucking kill him, to be honest. I really would. I don't have hate in my heart. I don't live with hate. I'm a kid who came from very bad circumstances. And I don't hate the person largely responsible for the bad circumstances I grew up in. Don't hate him. He's not around anymore. He's dead now. But I don't hate him. I released all that. And I don't hate him, but I could fucking kill him, I think. I think I could lose my temper and do time for him. This is neocon Zionist John the Walrus fucking Bolton, who's doubled down on the threats made by Donald Trump yesterday to ruin Venezuela. You see, people think we're not at war. We're not at war. People don't understand war. What they are doing or attempting to do to Venezuela is as bad as carpet bombing the country from destroyers or aircraft carriers off the coast or in Central America somewhere, economically squeezing the country to death because they have failed thus far to remove the democratically elected president Nicolas Maduro from the country. And this fucker was in Peru yesterday threatening to ruin Venezuela, starve the people of the country because his puppet masters haven't gotten their way. The time is now to act. The time to act is now, says Bolton. The US is acting assertively to cut off Maduro financially and accelerate a peaceful democratic transition. Venezuela is a sovereign country and it hasn't threatened. It hasn't attacked any of its neighbours, let alone the United fucking States of America, ever. But Madman Bolton wants to destroy the country economically. I could do time for him. Bernie Sanders did a podcast with a guy called Joe Rogan. I believe the Joe Rogan podcast is hugely popular. Millions of views, apparently, on YouTube. I've never watched it. I think I watched a little bit of it once. I can't remember who was on it. He interviewed somebody that I wanted to see, and I didn't like nor dislike it. Didn't mean anything to me. I don't have time anyway to watch podcasts. But anyway, he does very well, Joe Rogan. And he interviewed Bernie Sanders, who says that if I get to the White House, I will release all information that I learn about UFOs. No, you won't, Bernie. First of all, you won't get to the White House. Even if you did, it wouldn't matter a damn. There you go. My wife would demand that I let you know, says Bernie. Yeah, sure. More bullshit. What else have I got for you? If you're worried about seagulls on the promenades this year on your holidays, stealing your food, the TV and radio news channels this morning love this story. Apparently, if you look them in the eye, so if a seagull is approaching your punnet of chips menacingly, you just stare that little fucker right in the eye and it will fly off. It's the silly season. What more can I say? Neil Basu is the country's most senior counter-terrorism officer. And he's been talking about terror. And he says British Muslims shouldn't feel forced to assimilate. I think Neil is of Indian descent, I think. I think he's of Indian descent. And he's the senior counter-terrorism officer. He said that in a successful integrated society, people should be free to practice their religion and culture openly rather than having to hide away. He also said more needed to be done to eradicate poverty, improve education and increase social mobility if community cohesion was to be improved. Social justice is the way to end terrorism because apparently 80% of those who would wish to do us harm were born and bred inside the UK, apparently. So nobody should have to assimilate or integrate. Nobody in a free and open society should be able to do what you want. People should respect that and they should respect you. Utopia. Neil Basu there. The UK's right-wing faction melting down presumably today, hearing that. They might have a point. So there you go. This comes amid, according to the Telegraph, amid the ongoing debate about the best way to integrate Britain's diverse population. Yeah. There you go. Diversity, inclusivity, political correctness. It's everywhere. There's no escaping it. I like a pint of cask-conditioned ale. It's lovely stuff. Love it. My Irish mates won't like this, but Guinness is not what Guinness used to be. Guinness is just a pile of chemical shit now. That's all it is. Cask-conditioned ale. That's where it's happening. I fell in love with it years ago in London. Pint of Young Special. Yeah. So, there's an organisation that campaigns to promote real ale. Real ale, cask-conditioned ale. That organisation is CAMRA. C-A-M-R-A. R-A. CAMRA. C-A-M-R-A. CAMRA. Right? And they're on the lookout for sexist marketing and sexist labelling of our nation's cask-conditioned ale. This is the sort of shit, you see, that wears you down. Because it's not isolated. This is an example, but it's not an exception to the rule. This is becoming the rule. This is totalitarianism. People can't do what they want to do. They can't be creative and market their products in ways that they would like to, because they'll be called sexist and gammon and everything else. So CAMRA calls time on sexist names at Great British Beer Festival. Drinks are being checked for inclusivity. I want to fucking scream most days, you know. You've no idea what it's like to do this 16 hours a day, 6 days a week. Because I'm overwhelmed by this stuff. And it's getting worse and worse and worse and worse. It's terrifying people. It's transforming people. It's affecting their personalities. Everywhere you look, people who are doing harmless fucking things are being told that they are ugly human beings, that they are sexist, that they are homophobic, that they are misogynistic, and that there's no place for them. You're awful. And in this case, because they've been creative with a few names for different beers. No escaping this madness. Drinks that have fallen victim to crude stereotyping, such as Slack Alice, a cider described as a little tart, and pump clips, that's the clip that clips onto the beer pump, you know, when they're pulling it, featuring scantily clad buxom women, have been banned from the event at London's Olympia Theatre, which we'll see. It's not more than a theatre. It's a big, huge venue, which is set to attract tens of thousands of visitors. The blanket ban goes a step further than a new code of conduct launched by the campaign group last year, and is supported by a YouGov survey, which found that 68% of female drinkers would be unlikely to buy a beer if they saw an advert for it using offensive, laddish imagery. See, this is a wonderful bit of mind fuckery. 68% of women surveyed were asked, Mary, if you were in a pub and you saw a beer clip with a scantily clad woman, would you be put off buying that? What else can Mary say? Only, well, yes, I suppose I would. Don't introduce the survey. Send Mary into the fucking pub and say, have a pint, love. Have a pint, love. Mary might choose the beer clip with the scantily clad woman. She might randomly choose that. You just don't know. But you start telling people that everything is insidious and fucking evil and spooky and laddish and sexist, and they'll believe it. Christ, what am I doing with that? Fuck. Where is it? Here you go. So there you are. Consumer organisations like CAMRA have an important role to play in making women feel more welcome.
in the beer world. This is the first time we've made such a bold statement with a ban.
That's Abigail Newton, the vice chair of Camera's national executive. We need women to feel more safe. To feel more included and more safe. So you can't have beer labels like the ones I'm going to show you now. Brown Angel. Have a bottle of Brown Angel. Full-bodied, malty beer. No, not anymore. Because it's sexist, see? It's sexist, see? Have a Locktoberfest in Loch Lomond. No, because the buxom blonde babe hoisting the tankard up in her right arm, well, that's sexist, see? And women might feel unsafe if men were buying that in their presence. Right? What else have we got? Hoppy ending. Hoppy ending pale ale. No. Dangerous. Fucking dangerous. And if that's bad, what else have we got here? Erica Rowe. Do you remember Erica Rowe? Who streaked at Twickenham all those years ago, the first time that a young, red-blooded, future baldy-gammon Irish boy in Waterford City called Richie Allen ever saw the female form nude. Erica Rowe, striding magnificently across the Twickenham pitch in her birthday suit. 'Twas an image that stayed with me in my self-discovery years. Erica Rowe. I've been very diplomatic there. Self-discovery years. And finally, there'll be no more ordering a pint of Top Totty. Top Totty is off the menu as well. Do you see where that goes? You see, I'm making a joke of it. It's all very funny. But that's insidious. It never ends, that. It never ends. That is totalitarianism. I don't care. I know some of my female listeners will say, no, it isn't, Richie. You know, it's the same as Page Three girls. We see the Page Three girls. Did you ever have a conversation with Melinda Messenger? I did, many years ago, on my radio days in Spain. Melinda Messenger is a genius. Very smart woman. And did the glamour modelling. Knew what she was doing. 'Twas of her own volition, funded her education, and funded some of her business ventures. 'Tis like when you took the walk-on girls away from the darts. Men weren't sitting at home watching the darts, waiting for Michael Van Gerwen and Gary Anderson to come on. Men weren't sitting there going, lovely girls. Men weren't doing that. The promotional women, students many of them, who took the work with Barry Hearn's PDC, Professional Darts Corporation, were intelligent women who wanted to make a nice little earner. And they didn't just walk the men on to the stage. They did corporate work backstage for the organisation, hosting work for VIPs and people who'd bought special tickets and stuff like that. And they were more than just pretty faces. But these social justice fucking warriors, and these progressive lunatics, fat, ugly fuckers probably. I shouldn't say that, because I don't really mean that, but it really annoys me. You can't do that because it demeans women. Doesn't demean women at all, really. It's a woman saying, yeah, I've joined a modelling agency. Yeah, I'm fairly pretty. I can make a nice few bob. The work is very easy. Don't have to do very much. No heavy lifting involved. You know, make a few bob. But that's where we're going. And the idea that the people who have manufactured these beers and who use these labels, that might be a bit childish and a bit immature, are being told that it's sexist and that it's not conducive to getting more women into the industry to buy and like beer is fucking crazy. And I'm going to leave you on that one, I think, today. I'm going to leave you on that one. Am I still on? Do camera on. So there you are. So that's me. I'm back with you today. Mr. Ethical Nicholas Wilson will join the programme. What an amazing guy Nicholas is. And I'm pretty sure Jim Fetzer will wing in from Wisconsin as well. We'll talk about El Paso and Dayton and the gun control stuff around that. So that's all on the Richie Allen Show today, live on the usual channels from 5 p.m. UK time. Thanks for watching this morning. Really appreciate that. Thanks for your comments on the chat as well. We'll chat later then, I suppose. I better crack on and get on with my work. Until 5 p.m., you have a really good Tuesday. Wednesday it is. Have a good Wednesday. Speak later. Bye.